this time, more than any other time, this time. We're going to find a way. Find a way to get away this time. Getting it all together to win them all. Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the Same Old Wombles. We're brought to you by some of us responsible for bringing you Yellow and Blue back in the day. Same Old Wombles is non-affiliated, totally independent and non-partisan. Just the Same Old Wombles. My name is Mark Lewis and I'm just about able now to feel my toes and my fingers in this freezing cold. Tonight's panel features Adam Proctor and Matthew Cooper. And on tonight's show, we'll be discussing, amongst other things, the progress, in inverted commas, of the transfer window, saying farewell to some guy who's off to the Middle East, looking a little bit about our relationship, or lack of, with Brentford, wondering what else you do on a Saturday afternoon when there's no football on. And of course, some numbers. Welcome to episode 22.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Mark, brilliant. Brilliant as all. I mean, of all the England song lyrics to pick, I was kind of thinking you would go with "You've got to hold or give, but do it at the right time. You must be slow or quick, but you must get to the line. They'll always hit you and hurt you. Defend and attack. There's only one way to beat them. Get round the back." We should carry on. Adam, have you got one?
Singing for England.
Wow, that was England. Amazing. That was amazing.
Have you seen the documentary about when they recorded that?
No, I'm not sure I have, no.
They said to some England players,
"Oh, yes, I did.
We've got this
yes.
song, New yes. Order, filmed it," and it's like, "Who in New Order?" And they said, go to the film studios and do it. And it's like, "I don't want to do that." They said, there'll be beer, boys. Go to the studios. So it was John Barnes, Waddle, and Gascoigne, and Peter Beardsley, and no one else. And they got all absolutely bladdered. And they all recorded this rap, which was written on the hoof by Brendan Sumner, apparently. And they played Peter Beardsley's version of it in this documentary, and it was utterly shocking. So you think that John Barnes' one is bad?
I heard it. The Beardsley one is hilarious. It's just.
It's exactly the same thing.
If there's a clip of that on YouTube, I'd definitely add it.
I'm sure we can find it. Well, I'm sure you can probably find the unedited version of John Barnes' thing somewhere.
I wasn't sure whether you were whether that was the theme tune to Dancing on Ice, to be honest.
Did. No, I'm not really any kind of reality TV type kind of guy. And as you gathered, I'm not really a fashion kind of guy either, so I'm not really bothered about whether he breaks his ankle. Oh, apparently we got some publicity, though. Apparently there's some filming done at the stadium. So I heard.
Yeah, and he keeps wearing the scarf like on his shoulder, so he's got the AFC Wimbledon thing.
Yeah, because all football fans wear football scarves on their shoulders, don't they? What's that about?
I'm not sure.
Is he through to the next round? I need to catch up. I need to watch it.
Oh, look at that. You've fallen for it already. You need to watch it. What do you need to watch it?
Well, I like watching Wimbledon on TV, even a small bit with a scarf on the shoulder.
Yeah, but isn't he I thought he was the presenter. He's not actually icing.
He's one of the contestants.
Is he?
He's a contestant.
He's dancing. Oh, my word. It looks... People got properly injured in that, didn't they, in previous things?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Because they're not properly athletic. I mean, he's probably athletic enough, you know, because he did kickboxing and stuff after his career, didn't he? So,
but yeah, I don't know what the scarfing is. But he did that when he came to the. Then he did his walk around the ground. He had a scarf on his shoulder.
Yeah, that's
must be a thing.
That's fashion news way of doing things, as random as that is. So here's a random question, chaps. Obviously, we were supposed to be playing on Saturday afternoon, and we're supposed to be at Newport. I already had family stuff on, so I was away all day out anyway. The question is, what do you get to? We're not going to do this in any kind of order at all. I'll jump in first of all with what do you do on a Saturday afternoon? This is the fate that we were potentially faced with 20, 2 years ago when we didn't have a football club anymore. And then obviously we know what happened. History happened. But what did you guys get up to on a Saturday afternoon when normally we'd be randomly messaging each other on WhatsApp about why we're playing 3-5-2 yet again? Were you following other football or did you find something slightly less boring to do?
I just set up a new football club. I thought that's what you did when there wasn't a game on. Is that right? Just
AFC, AFC.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I find it quite soporific to just sit and listen to Radio 5 or watch, Sky or BBC or something like that and just hear the results sort of wash over you. There's something quite relaxing about just listening to the football and it not having any impact on how you feel. It's quite a nice thing, but it gets a bit tedious after a while. I was gagging to watch the Dons tomorrow or today. I can't remember whenever this goes out, whatever it is.
Walsall would have been Tuesday, but we can exclusively reveal, if you haven't followed Twitter or the internet for the last 24 hours, that actually that game is not going to be played. So, yeah, that's the only question I'm slightly concerned about, actually. Because we've now obviously had a couple of games off. We're in that random situation where nobody in League One or League Two has played the same number of games. Some have played 24. I think we played 25, 26. Some have played 27. And like last year with the whole COVID outbreak stuff, we're going to end up having to play some back-to-back Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday.
Yeah, there's going to be definitely a stack of games. I mean, so the funny thing was, I was hoping, because now my daughter works as a hairdresser, an apprentice, she can't do Saturdays, but of course I've got the season ticket and it's really difficult to get. Saturday's obviously the busiest day for hairdressers. So we're kind of Tuesday evening is kind of the game we could probably do. And so, yeah, we're a bit disappointed we won't be able to make tomorrow, but I'm glad they called it off as early as they did. But yeah, I sort of said, I think we're going to end up with quite a few Tuesdays now. So yeah, it's going to be a bit of a stressful, not necessarily end to the season, but there's a stack that are coming that is not going to do us any favours.
Well, we've already got, I'm just looking at the fixtures, we've got 7 games already. Hang on. 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 7 games in February already, even without adding any more. So, because Stevenage has been rearranged for the end of February, but they're still in the FA Cup. So we've got to rearrange, obviously, the game yesterday, which is Walsall, which had already been rearranged once anyway. So, yeah, not ideal. Not ideal at all.
No.
Or is it ideal because it means that we can actually only play one more game before the transfer window finishes and then actually have a bigger, better squad?
I guess the one thing, it's a mixture of things. The one thing that's a worry is that, you know, all of this games being cancelled and such like. I mean, I think that it's all happening at the same time rather than, I think it was in League One, games were getting cancelled because a side would literally phone up and say, we've got some incidents of COVID and it was never really checked. And so you'd be training up until the day and then it would all be cancelled. Whereas, you know, this is more like football pre the pandemic where games would get called off because of bad weather or frozen pitch rather than just COVID. But I can't remember. We had quite a number of games that were all called off one after the other when we were on a fairly decent run. And the truth is that it's been a stuttering start to 23, hasn't it, really?
Yeah.
So I guess to be given a bit of chance to bed the players that we brought in, bed them in, see if we're going to, you know, get some other players in, bed them in. And I guess the one good thing at the moment is that there's only one game between, hopefully there's only one good thing, which is only one game now between the transfer window closing. And we hopefully don't lose any more players.
I was going to say, can we lose any more players? Like that's what that window feels like. It's just eject players. I don't. That's the thing. I mean, it's yeah. Just weird,
it's
isn't
like,
it?
It's like we're flying along. Who's opened the window at the back? It doesn't let air in. It sucks the players out.
Yeah. I tried making a list. All right. I tried making a list of who's gone where and what. And I stopped about halfway through because I lost track. I think, although obviously it hasn't been confirmed yet. So in terms of different types of players, the one player we've sold, although it hasn't been confirmed, obviously, is Asal. Yeah. We've bought Al Hamadi from Wickham. We've had Towler and NYC and Magoma and Hudlin all recalled. Talk about that in a minute. We've got Armani Little in midfield on loan from Forest Green and Sam Pearson on loan on the left wing or right wing, depending on whether he gets overplayed in his right position. And then what was the random little tweet from the South London Press that Matt just discovered? The latest loanee that we're about to bring in?
A guy from Cambridge. Well, so, I mean, I just think it's difficult, and maybe it's just like who do I think I am? You know, like it's the idea that we've got someone in from Cambridge, we're getting home, maybe in someone from Cambridge, and we've got someone in from Forest Green, and these are bottom half of League One, whereas our previous loans have been, and these are loans, not buys. So our previous loans have been, you know, Premier League or Championship. So we're now getting loans in from sides near the bottom of the division above us, where there isn't, I would argue that there's not a huge difference between where we are and the, you know, the bottom.
Correct. Quite possibly. But you see, where I look at it is you've got, I mean, someone like a Henry Lawrence or a Paris Magoma, we've had them both on loan, and they've obviously also got the other thing on loan that they chose themselves afterwards, showing how much particular care and attention and love they have for our particular football club to go and play for the lot in Buckinghamshire. But they were both players that made a good positive impression, came from higher ranking clubs, looked like they were the bee's knees, and actually, arguably, after two or three games, really flattered to deceive and were quite disappointing. So there are not too many people particularly upset about Paris. There's been some upset on social media today that he has gone to Milton Keynes. But actually, you know, he didn't really fulfil what we thought was his great potential. To me, when I look at this lad, Sekou Janet, I'm sure that's not how you pronounce his name, but that's the Cambridge forward we're talking about. Based on the little pen pics on the South London Press, he was at Torquay in Conference South, scored 18-34. To me, couple that with what Armani Little did playing in the conference last year. These are signings that have the stamp of Craig Cope on them. In other words, we are sourcing in the division below or even the division below that. And I have to say, the last few years, I've seen players go from Woking and they've gone from Aldershot and they've gone from that type of club, Bromley as well. And they've gone straight to someone like Peterborough or Charlton. And I thought, well, shouldn't we have been in for them? You know, is it because a Championship club came in and we weren't quite attractive enough? So this type of potential player, they are stepping up to play with us. They've had an opportunity at a high level and not cut it. We're probably their kind of only and last chance. Fingers crossed.
Do you see, the thing is, I wouldn't mind kind of so player much.
To thrive in League Two.
I wouldn't mind so much, Mark, but we're getting these players on loan. So if this guy from Cambridge does any good with us, if we start developing up and we've got, you know, we have got pedigree in doing that, he's not us. He's not with us in the summer. He goes back to Cambridge. And the same with the guy from Forest Green. If he does well with us, it's Forest Green who benefit. It isn't us. And that's what I find is a weird thing. It's like if we were buying these players, it would feel slightly different. But to develop a player who could potentially be in the same division of us next season, whether that's in League Two or League One, you know, maybe I'm talking pie in the sky, but it just feels like that's what feels wrong. What's been nicer about developing players who are in the Premier League or the Championship is, you know, these were younger players, and you felt like you were giving them something. So if they So then they have that progression with us, and then hopefully they go and they get, you know, some more experience in the league above or the Championship or whatever. And you feel like you're part of that journey. With this, it's like we're developing players who are going to be you know, in direct competition with us next season. That's what feels wrong to me.
I think that's a good point, actually. You know, I mean, in terms of developing the players that came down to us, we developed them to injury, but from what I can tell. But so maybe there's a bit of that. I mean, obviously, with Paris going to franchise, that's just that's just weird. I don't understand any of that. I guess they must. I can only assume they're going to pay more of his wage, because why would you leave? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. That's just stupid. Yeah, I think. I mean, and again, the Cambridge guy clearly said on that South London Press, you know, no buyout, you know, there's no option for buyout. So it made it very clear in that article that this is purely a loan. So, yeah, we could end up developing players that end up playing against us. But then I guess the question is, like, why aren't we buying any players? Is Craig in too late for us to really make those kind of long-term key decisions? What, you know, financially, are we holding back because we can't afford the kind of players that we need? So a loan is a short-term financial agreement, obviously. Or are we just not finding the players that we want, that, you know, they aren't out there to buy? I mean, I don't know. Like, as you guys know, I watch Wimbledon and I don't know what's going on in the rest of football. Like, so I couldn't tell you whether there's other players out there that are looking like they should have, like, been bought by us. But it is a little bit concerning. At least, I mean, it did make... At least, I guess they made it clear how long those loans would last. It's like to the end of the season. So, you know, but I also, if we do well, I don't want to end up having to redo the whole squad again in the summer, because we seem to be sort of building on something. And so if a lot of it is based on loan players, then what are we going to do in the summer? You know, are we going to have to fill them with youngsters who are inexperienced, or are we going to have to buy in the summer? I don't know, you know. Yeah, and why is the Assal thing taking so long to finish? Like, everyone seems to be saying he's gone. You know, what's going on with that? Like, why have they not just stumped up the cash so we know where we're at? You know, that's also dodgy. So I don't understand why that just hasn't happened.
No, I don't think any of us have a yes, no answer on the Assal one. I'm guessing... And I'm just speculating, and I have no insider knowledge on this at all. I'm guessing that if there's a buyout clause, and the buyout clause presumably has terms and conditions in it, which may well be, okay, you have to pay X amount of money, maybe you have to pay it up front, then you're talking about a serious amount of money, therefore you'd have to obviously get all the T's and C's right with regards to bank transfers and currency, whatever it may be. If they're wanting to pay us in dollars, and obviously we have no interest in dollars, we want to be paid in pounds, and if it's obviously it's £1 million worth, so they're going to pay us in whatever the currency is from Qatar or the equivalent, and so that may take some time to obviously process. I'm no kind of financial expert at all, as I've just demonstrated. And the other thing, presumably, is it doesn't look like any other club is potentially coming in for him. So it's not a case like that Ukrainian forward that signed for Chelsea a week or so ago, where all the way through Arsenal were up for it until Chelsea found out that basically he was ready to transfer, and then just jumped in there and presumably offered a bit more money or more favourable payment terms or something.
Didn't we have a Chelsea person come on, like, was it rumoured as well?
Yeah. It's all up in the air. And I guess from my point of view, it's good if we're getting loans in. I want them to be, you know, like I said, Premier League or Championship, and developing those links with those sort of clubs. And then if you're buying someone, like we bought the guy from Wickham, that's a great thing. But to be, it feels weird to be loaning players who can't even get in the first team of Forest Green or Cambridge. Just feels weird. And maybe they just don't fit there, and they'll fit with us. And I'm sure the club have done their due diligence and, you know, figured out that they're, you know, hopefully they're going to be a good fit for us. But it just feels weird. And I guess that is arrogance on my part to say, you know, why, you know.
Well, possibly. But I think the other issue, of course, is that there are a lot of clubs, and we're one of them, that don't necessarily know what division they're going to play in next year. Even if we play in League One, are we going to get a huge amount of money centrally additional to what we have now? No. So therefore, our budget overall isn't necessarily going to be competitive in League One. Would we, for example, looking at this lad coming from Cambridge, would we want to take someone with that pedigree on a longer-term contract? They've obviously seen something with Al-Hamidi, even though he hasn't got a huge pedigree with Wickham or in professional football stop, that makes them think, yeah, this is a project worth investing in. What I'm wondering is, not just with us, but with a lot of clubs, are people signing players at whatever level and then finding, okay, after half a season, he's not necessarily the player I really fancy, or the manager's changed, so manager two doesn't fancy him the way manager one did. And therefore, manager one thinks, okay, I can ship him out, I save his 500 quid a week wages. I'm speculating, I have no idea about wages. And then for the rest of the season, I can get somebody else in who I do fancy. And then at the end of the season, I've either stayed up, as far as green, will either stay up in League One or League Two, and therefore they'll cut the cloth accordingly. So it seems like a lot of clubs are operating like this. There, a lot of clubs have been are struggling in terms of these loans being recalled and then being sent out somewhere else again. Crew lost their goalkeeper, who's like Arsenal's fourth choice. They recalled him from Crew, and then he's the guy who saved the penalty against us. They immediately sent him off somewhere in Cyprus on loan elsewhere. So the bigger clubs don't necessarily care, by the sound of it, don't care at all for the actual club that is going alone or not, whatever level they're at, and whatever consequence it has by Magoma being recalled or NYC being recalled or the equivalent higher up. I mean, I saw a thing today saying Aston Villa had agreed to Southampton's request to recall Bednarek, the big centre-back. Well, slow. How can you agree to that? Bednarek is Southampton's player, so they recall him or they don't recall him, whether or not the club wanted to do that. We clearly didn't want to let Pat and Magoma go, let NYC go, but we let him go. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you'd have any choice in that sense, because if there's a recall clause or whatever in the loan, then that's it. But again, maybe it does come down to this. Maybe it is about the fact that they want to loan these players out, but they want to get the most money. They want to get whichever club they're loaning to, they want to get the best deal for how much that club is going to pay towards that person's wages, which is what the Paris situation really feels like to me. It's just like they obviously would clearly want to offer more money. I don't know. It's just which points back to the precariousness of all these clubs, isn't it? If they're getting like these big squads and they're loaning people out, and then they're doing the deals are based on how much money or kickback they get from the club they're loaning to, that sounds really bad.
I'm sure it's not like that, Adam. My general feeling is that they want their players to play at the highest level, and they're not expecting any.
But at the bottom of league, like Paris would be at the bottom of League One.
Yeah, but it's still a league above. But they're not expecting any finances. They're not expecting people to pick up the wages. I don't think Brentford were probably expecting us to pay anything towards NYCs or.
But a team that could be in the playoffs of League Two versus a team that's clearly in the relegation zone of League One, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I guess that you're playing against Derby, Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, Bolton, Plymouth. Do you know what I mean? Rather than
big stadia, yeah, big atmosphere. Yeah. Can you cut it in front of that type of crowd?
Yeah, big atmosphere.
Not there.
But a big atmosphere at Derby or big atmosphere.
No, I'm joking.
I'm assuming. I mean, it's a ridiculous. The actual fact you catch me because I'm like, it feels to me we've done something to hurt Brentford. We've upset them, and I've been.
That's a good thing to move on to. If we have, I'm not quite sure how.
How?
Because we've had seven loans, but they've all been recalled. They've all been half season.
I was in the middle of a letter. So whilst we were doing this, I was in the middle of a. Sorry, excuse me. It's got a bit personal. I was in the middle of a letter. So it's dear Brentford. I'm not sure what we've done to upset you. I always thought we had a good thing going, but last month has made me question our relationship. Loved your gifts. Guess I kind of thought that they were for the long term. Didn't realise you were going to take them back without warning. Then I got a text from text telling me that you've given one of the gifts to some burnt-out backwater twat in Buckinghamshire. Not sure why you want to devalue something so much. I'm not going to dwell on your duplicity, and I'm already moving on. I've been in touch with Bristol City, slightly worried about their intentions. Chelsea, they're a bit slow in getting back. And Cambridge, it was late and I was a little drunk. Anyhow, so long, and I hope you're happy with the choices that you've made. Love and kisses. Sorry, I was just in the middle of a letter. I just had to get that done.
He's a poet and he doesn't know it. Mr. Matthew Cooper, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my word. You've got to send that to Brentford, man. There will be a generic email. Just send it to them. It was so funny. Seriously, someone in the admin team will pick that up and they would be laughing.
The Brentford B manager, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
It is quite peculiar. But I mean, look, we've had some good players, obviously. People talk about Force because Force did really well for us and has carved out a decent championship career. I think he's at Middlesbrough now. No one else from Brentford that we've had has necessarily gone on to do very much. Except, of course, from the mad Dane, Mad Beck Sorensen, who played in the Premier League, even though, frankly, I didn't think he was that much cop in League One. And then he got farmed out on loan, then he's come back again, and now he's back in Brentford's Premier League squad.
Really?
But, I mean, to be honest, Brentford is a weird one because, unlike everybody else, they haven't got this under-23 team. They've only got the B team, so they're not playing regular games against exactly level types of standards of opposition. It still makes me a little confused as to how we haven't got a relationship with Fulham, because literally it's about as close as you can get in terms of where their training ground is to where our training ground is. You can fall out of bed there and go to fall in bed to ours. But I guess we just have to talk about what a relationship we
get. Where are Fulham and Chelsea, where are they lending their players to? What's the relationship there? And are we seen as that? Are we too far down the food chain to benefit their players?
I think now Fulham in the Premier League, they probably do the let's send our player as far north as possible or as far west as possible. In other words, put a 17-year-old out to live on his own. A bit like we did when we sent Hartigan to Newport County a couple of years ago, and actually get them to sink or swim as an individual, as well as obviously in a football context. So yeah, to send them, unfortunately, letting them train not in Motspur Park but in Norbiton, New Malden, where our training ground is, then that's not really going to be any particularly different.
See how I go, yeah.
This is why Chelsea have got two or three, or had two or three last season at Accrington Stanley, which is, with the greatest respect to Accrington Stanley, not quite as plush as KT2, where Fulham train with their swanky. All heated indoor training facility. So hopefully we haven't blown it with Brentford, because I don't think we've done anything wrong, so I don't see why they should feel annoyed about us, annoyed about things we've done.
It certainly feels like we have, though, Mark.
I know.
You don't take back a couple of players without hardly any warning at all. And why would you... I mean, what have they got in store for NYC? That doesn't make any sense. If he pops up there, mate, that is it. Then I know we've done something wrong.
No, you're right, though, in terms of, like, if as we thought, and that we have a good relationship with them in terms of being, you know, that they would feed us certain players, it doesn't do you any favours to just recall players without giving notice and without, you know, at least explaining it. And from what we understand from the South London Press, etc., that JJ didn't get any particular explanation and was surprised and shocked. So that definitely says there's a cooling off of the relationship in some degree, because if they liked us enough, they would at least be courteous to say, hey, look, we're going to take these players back, just so you know, start, you know, looking out for getting players in these positions. Even if they don't actually give any more explanation than that. You know, it's not like we need an explanation, but the fact that JJ seems to have said, according to the press, so, you know, I'm sure it's pretty accurate, that he was surprised and shocked, That is a little worrying. So then that does, there is a few alarm bells there, which is a bit frustrating, but, you know, what can we do?
Either that or maybe we're just being naive, because I think Matt mentioned it on last week's pod or recent pod about the fact that whatever the terminology used when these loans are originally started in July, August time, they all seem to be half-season loans. And I think that's the straightforward focus and mentality we have to have nowadays. In other words, it's only going to be a half-season loan, so we've got to plan ahead. Even if the guy's doing absolutely amazing in November, December time, defensively or whatever position he's playing in, don't bank on them being there for the whole season.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, and Matthew did say that last pod. It was like, yeah, we just need, whatever the terms say, just treat them all as a half season and be figuring out how to swap them anyway. And then if they stay, you can pull the rug on the other deals. It's not going to be a, you know, big deal for us or them in that sense. But if they go, at least we know where we're at.
I'd like to be in a position where we're the ones who call the shots. So when it gets to January, we go, this lot are going back. Because we've got a better offer, whether that's buying someone or loaning someone else out. But
maybe that was the case with Hudlin, for example.
I think probably that was the case with Hudlin. Yes, I agree. But the others to have no. I mean, and to also get messages just before Christmas saying that people were happy with them at our club. So and then for it to change so quickly, I don't understand. But there you are.
It does seem, though, that, you know, as a Premier League club, you'll just do whatever you want to do. I mean, frankly, if I was a Chelsea fan, apart from that being random, but if I was a Chelsea fan, my head would be spinning right now because they seem to be signing players willy-nilly. No one seems to quite understand how. They're obviously trying to dodge the financial fair play things by signing them over massive long contracts, which is how you can play that particular game. The manager doesn't seem to know who the players are to actually fit into whatever, which is probably quite reasonable, as the likelihood is he's not going to be there in 8 months, let alone 8 years, when these contracts will finish. So would you want to be in that position when you've got all these players being signed for silly amounts of money? Or our position where even, and I don't think we're unique in this, thinking about this, you know, with the Sal moving on, obviously our top strikers and our top goal getters last year in League One were Palmer, Sal and Rodoni. And the sad inevitability is if we're in the Premier League and you get relegated, then you lose your best players. And the same thing is happening. And it's not anything we don't know anything about. And we could all rant on about it for months and months and months, let alone one of our weekly pods about the whole financial inequality. But that's the reality, that people will stay at higher paying clubs. And if you're in League Two, then unfortunately you are relatively low down in the food chain. And we unearthed the Sal. We look like we've unearthed Curry and Biller from our own academy, which is great. We haven't unearthed a Vinnie Jones type player from non-league paying a small amount of money for some time. That's why I think a lot of people were really quite keen on someone like Ali, because he looks to me, just on half an hour playing as a sub, he looks like that kind of rough diamond who will give it loads and get the crowd going and therefore get the crowd on his side. And if he does turn out to be pretty good, then, and he moves on with our best wishes, because he's done well for the club and financially we've done okay.
Well, he sounds fired up. That's the thing. He sounds like he's fired up for all the right reasons. Wickham, obviously, they were talking about the fact that, you know, that it almost sounded like they'd happily buy him back kind of thing if he progressed, which really showed a lot in my mind. So, yeah, I'm quite excited to see how he progresses. I reckon it'll be pretty interesting.
But I loved that bit there, Mark, your rambling bit there. And I was trying to pick bits out of it, but it was confusing, but I was trying to get there. There was one point where you're saying, I don't know which position you'd rather be in, Chelsea or ours. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to support Chelsea, but I guess they do play in the Premier League rather than mid-table in League Two. I mean, you know, I'm not a fan necessarily of the Premier League, but mainly because we're not in it. So that was an interesting little snippet there, I thought.
Oh my word.
I don't know how much you, I mean, I see you're drinking, I'm watching, I don't know if it's the same pint you've had for the whole of this, or if you're knocking them back very quickly when I'm not looking, but you know. Are we going to do numbers soon? Because I don't know. I just want to. I just worried about you doing the numbers game when you're there's something wrong. Is there something you want to tell us?
Nothing to tell at all. It was about being in some kind of control and some kind of having some kind of understanding about what's going on in your football club. Which, if I'm a Chelsea fan and I work with Chelsea fans, and we all know Chelsea fans around, you know, because of where we live in.
I'm like, much more conscientious of my friendship
groups. I'm not going to be a friend to you because you're a Chelsea fan. Is that how it goes? Eh? You're a disgrace. Okay.
Mark has so backed himself into a corner.
Are we, as an epitaph to a Sal, working on the basis that between now and next week's pod, he may well have actually finally been sold officially?
Well, the other club has done some whole Twitter thing about him, haven't they? With like screen, like video of all his goals or something.
Yeah, that was already on YouTube. All they've done is they put a template in the front.
Was there a picture of him in their kit? Was that real?
Yeah, but it's like photoshopped to me.
There's no
look at me with the scarf type thing.
Yeah, it's Riyadh
or whatever. That
is. He's going to wear the scarf over his shoulder, surely.
I guess the big thing for us, we'll always get, you know, of our politics, we're always going to get pushed into a corner on this one. So let's open it up. He's going to Qatar. So we are as a club accepting money from Qatar. I mean, I guess it's who owns the club. I mean, and I could be wrong, but is it, you know, who owns the club he's going to? So where's that money coming from? And also, I'm not particularly fussed if we're getting that money in, maybe I should be more so.
Well, no, it does depend on who owns the club, because if they're not a Qatari, then there's a difference, isn't there? But I suspect that they probably are. I was thinking about this the other day. Obviously, I don't, you know, as a club, I'm not happy that we're potentially accepting money from Qatar, but we don't have any choice in that sense. It's the, you know, we can make. I mean, I was reading about betting sponsorship again, you know, again, and what we had and hadn't agreed to in the past through the Don's Trust board stuff, and you know, I think where we can make stands, obviously we can, but in terms of like the, you know. I mean, I think I think it's the agents. I don't even know. I mean, again, I was thinking about, it's like footballers have supposedly a shorter career than, you know, other careers, you know, of course. You know, we know a lot go into, you know, presenting and all that kind of stuff. And there's lots of extra things that are now supported. It feels like he's definitely looked at the money position. I'm sure it must be a massive deal. But what can we do? You know, the agents and he chooses... If he's going to accept a payment, we kind of are a passenger in that ride to some degree. If there's a clause that allows for a buyout, there's nothing we can do. We might say we don't like it, but what are we going to do? Like put the money into a charity? Well, you know, we're a co-op anyway. We're kind of, you know, put it into the stadium. I don't know. It's a nightmare.
The buyout clause is an interesting one, and I guess it's going to exist in every contract, and you know, if you follow the various agents or the various football journalists on Twitter, then they'll tell you, you know, so and so Chelsea usually are in for X player from Ukraine or X player from Anderlecht or wherever it may be. There's actually an interesting Sky documentary about agents right now, where they say, oh, the buyout clause is X, but they always try and get it for less than X. So the idea theoretically of buyout clauses is that it's placed at a level so high that it's going to put people off. Now, the reality seems to be that it's put people off in the UK, in a sales case, because he's going elsewhere overseas. But if the buyout clause is £1 million, we don't know for sure. If the buyout clause is £1 million paying off in one fell swoop, which again, we don't know for sure. I suppose realistically, financially, then that's not going to be revealed. I'd like it to be personally, but that's personal opinion. Then that does mean that the club's got that financial security. Rudoni, for example, went for, as far as I understand, about 750, 800, but that will be paid over the 3 years of his contract or however long his contract is. So I suspect that you know, £1 million as opposed to a buyout, as opposed to a sell-on clause. Bursic, for example, has just recently transferred, and the sell-on clause on that, apparently, which we all thought was going to be amazing because he was a under 20, under 18, under 19 England keeper, but he's only gone for £500,000. So if we're on 10% or something, then that's not a lot of money. Even if it's 20%, it's still only, you know, 100K. But do we think Asel is one of those people that will, you know, be up there with the Hall of Fame stuff? Will he be, for the fans of the last 5 years, will he be immortal like a John Leslie, like an Alan Cork, like a Dave Besant, like a Danny Kedwell?
It would have been if he hadn't faffed around with the social media and whatever, and this illness thing. If all of that was honest, then yeah, I mean, he's done some amazing things. Young guy, really cool, like what he's done. But that to end your contract in that way, whatever advice he's taken to do that, I think just like for me, this is not on. So that for me, it's no, you know, unfortunately, you don't do that. That's just not on.
Yeah, I mean, that it's a difficult one. I mean, I would argue he's been the best player of the AFC Wimbledon era. I think if you looked at players from the AFC Wimbledon era, I would argue that he's potentially the best player that we've had. And I hope that when he, you know, when it's all confirmed, he will say something. It's just, I mean, he's obviously been advised by people, and this is what you do. And so it's a shame in all of that time he didn't break that and just say, sorry, you know, I'm ill at the moment, or whatever it is. I'm sorry I can't be there, and come on, you Dons, or something on his social media things. But he's been advised not to say anything. It's frustrating. And it's frustrating for it not to have been sorted yet. That's the thing.
And there is a distinct
it's
difference.
Football, and we're at the cutting edge of it.
We are, unfortunately. But the difference to the Rodoni deal, I think, is quite telling, because Rodoni stayed in England, transfer fee was less, got his head down, scored in the last couple of games, even when we were obviously destined for relegation, as it turned out. And, you know, he's doing well for himself and is still progressing. And even if Huddersfield don't necessarily pull up any trees, then you'd like to think that he's actually got a decent career for himself, at least at championship level, if not potentially higher. But then again, he's also only 21, 22. So who knows? Farewell, Ayoub Asel, and thanks for all the fish, I guess, is what we're saying, in a polite way.
Yeah.
Right then. Okay. The Hall of Fame and whether or not Asel actually features on it is the type of thing that I'm sure Niall, when he's able to join us in future podcasts, will outline in more detail. But like I said, that's his baby, so we'll let him do that. All right, chaps. Since only three of us, I'm going to round it up here, because Matt's accusing me of not being in control of what's going on with some numbers already, at which point I have to give him the hardest of all the numbers going.
I love you, Mark. You know that.
Yeah. Right, okay. Only two numbers this week then. So for Adam, Adam's number is 20. What is the question?
It's not the amount of games we've got left, is it? Still? Or something ridiculous?
No.
Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, but not that. I can't think of anything else that's going to be going on with 20.
I'll give you a different one then. If that one's too hard, I'll give you a different one.
No, that's going to make that's going to make it easier. Thanks, Mark. For goodness sake.
But it might do.
No, it won't. You know, okay. It won't.
Your alternative number is 5.
5?
And these are all AFC Wimbledon again, obviously.
5 players out. 5 players in.
No. These are all players that still play for the club. Well, 4 out of 5 of them still play for the club. And the other one we've just been talking about.
They're 5 away from the 100.
So that's only 3 away from the 100. Actually, notable mention to Rosie Russell, who of the ladies' team, the women's team, who actually notched her 100th appearance at the weekend, which is a very notable achievement for our women's team. So congratulations to her. Sorry, I interject. 5. Any ideas, Matt?
Yeah, go on.
To bail him out.
You come up with some. And the other one. We need to know the other one as well, because otherwise I'll be annoyed.
Oh, the 21. The 21 was a mistake of mine.
Sorry.
The answer to 5 is...
You've been freezing on me, which is a great time. This is a great time for the...
Fabulous. Okay, well, the number was 5, and the answer to 5 is we have five players in the first team squad who've started 20 or more games this year in the league.
Oh, you keep doing this one about who started for me. That's so annoying. What's the 20?
Cool. Buy a program, read it. It's easy, really.
I buy it. I do read bits of it.
There you go, bits of it. Okay, so...
what's the 20?
Quick pop quiz then. Who are those five players?
So, what was the answer again?
Five players have started 20 or more games in the league.
I'm going to have to be depressed to say Towler.
No.
Nick Zaniff.
Zaniff, yes.
Brown, maybe?
No.
Oh.
Asal.
Yes.
Davidson.
Oh, Davidson.
Yes.
I need to look at my...
Two more.
Woodyard?
No, not the same name. Adam's making a program, which is called cheating.
No, I need to know the names of the players.
Oh, my word.
Chislett.
Chislett, correct. Yes. And?
Callum Boy?
Nope.
What?
Curry?
Jack Curry is the fifth. Oh, correct. Well played. Riley Taylor only started 17, so there you go.
What was the other question again? 20, was it?
The other question is, number 9 is Matt's number.
No, you've missed one of the answers. You asked me two questions.
Yeah, what? I asked you 20, but that's because I read my own question wrong.
Well, what was the actual question? Okay, what was the actual question, and what was the actual answer? Because we need to know.
No, there was no question. What I meant to read out was, the number is 5, but I actually read out the number 20. Five players had played 20 games.
Oh, my word. So I spent a couple of minutes trying to answer a question that didn't exist.
Didn't exist, yeah.
By
yeah.
saying 20.
And dear listener, this is why I'm slightly concerned about Mark. Is in this exact moment now.
Mental torture for Matthew Cooper.
So right, now you're going to ask. Now the number is 9, yeah? That's right.
Number's
9. Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure?
It's definitely 9. Oh.
Yeah.
Definitely also in the program.
All right. Was John Fashanu's number?
Yes, but this is all about AFC Wimbledon this season, and John Fashanu doesn't play for us anymore.
Oh, sorry. You didn't mention any of that before.
No, that's when you're that's when you're frozen, I think, though. You might have been frozen.
Yeah, I did say that. That's when you were frozen. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Number 9.
Oh, is that something like the most shirt change or something? I don't know. No. I mean, they all
keep... pretty simple. We've probably had it this season already,
it's number 9. Is that the amount of people who played centre-back for us this season?
Oh, no, I know. It's the amount of referees you need to get a VAR decision correct.
Very good. Mm. All much better answers than the true answer.
I like it when it's not my question because I can just make stuff up.
9.
Well, as opposed to what you normally do.
Yeah.
Is that how many Newport players surrounded the referee to get Hudley sent off?
Quite possibly.
Mm.
Oh, I give up.
The answer is the number of players who've scored goals for us in the league.
Wow, okay, that's pretty good. That's a good spread, actually.
Not bad
yeah.
spread. And a quick run through as to who those players are.
The nine of what was the question again?
The 9 goal scorers for us.
Davidson.
Yeah.
Asal.
Yeah.
Chislett.
Yeah.
Okay, at that point I give up.
I'm going back.
Pell.
Yeah, Pell, definitely. Gotta be.
Yep.
Where's my players again?
That's Nightingale.
Nope.
Oh, that must have been the end of last season. NYC?
Yeah,
of course, the NYC.
Did Woodyard score one or something weird, no?
Nope.
Yeah. Senior.
Yes, flukily.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got 6.
Has Curry scored one?
Curry scored yes. first game of the season. Yeah, header, he did, yes. far post, yeah.
What about Fimpong? Didn't we mention him on something else?
Yeah, he hasn't scored in the league. Oh, he's scored in the cup.
Yes.
So you are missing 1, 2.
Two, yeah.
Yeah.
Bartley hasn't scored, has he?
No.
Who? Oh, what?
Hardly doesn't score for us. Yes.
Ireland scored 4 goals, though, all in the Pizza Trophy, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not many people left.
Oh, you mentioned them both already, but, you know, forget quickly.
Well, you know we forget quickly, for goodness sake.
Has Towler scored? Towler?
Yeah, Riley Towler and... Towler scored at Walsall and we lost 3-1.
Oh, not Magoma.
No, should have scored several times, but never did.
Who else has gone back? I'm forgetting the numbers of people who have gone back now.
No, this is an academy graduate, my friend.
Oh. Byler? Huss? Huss hasn't scored.
Huss hasn't scored, has he? No. I'll be going mad if he had.
No, it was the bouncing bomb header against Colchester. Paul Callanby. So there you go. So I guess the wisest advice we can give this week, having not played for a while, is to keep an eye on the Twitter feed, keep an eye on the website, because you never know when we're going to be playing, when we should be playing, when it's going to be rearranged to.
Yeah.
Theoretically, we're playing Stockport Saturday. I've got some friends coming along to their first ever Wimbledon game, so fingers crossed it'll be on, and fingers crossed it'll be a good experience for them.
Well, hopefully.
And I'll be in the opposite stand.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Never sat in the East Stand before, so it'll be a different view to have a look at.
We'll wave.
Fabulous. I'll be underneath the scoreboard.
Well, a friend of mine always, I take a picture and he's like, you take the same picture every time you go to football. So maybe I need to move around a little bit.
I'll take a picture of your stand then, and you lot being all very rude. And lots of polite songs being sung, obviously, you know.
Of course, we only sing polite songs.
We only sing polite songs. There's got to be a chance to sing polite songs. We only sing polite songs.
That's not even... We're at the end of the podcast.
I can't believe... I'm not even going to get a rise up either of you for that. That's not... No fun at all. Fabulous stuff. Mr. Adam Proctor, thank you very much. Mr. Matthew Cooper, thank you very much.
It's because my connection's unstable again, Mark.
Yeah, well, I've known that about you all your life, mate. We've been the same old Wombles. This is episode 22. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter Spaces and Apple and anywhere else you can find your general random podcasts out every Tuesday morning, subject to Adam's technical trickery. Thank you very much. And fingers crossed, we'll see you down at Plough Lane for a game once the pitch is defrosted very soon. And good night.
You know, the thing is, Mark doesn't know what Twitter Spaces is because we're not on Twitter Spaces.
I know, as I said, it's like, that's not that, is it? It's not on Twitter Spaces. What are you talking about?
Wicked.
Oh, dear Mark.
Did I tell you the story about that?